Okay, folks, in Joshua chapter 2, and the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgad to Bochim. I'm in the book of Judges, and I mean to be in the book of Joshua. They both started with a J, didn't they? Okay, chapter 2, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out a Shittim, two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house. A harlot is a prostitute named Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in thither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the women took the two men and hid them. The woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." And it came to pass about the time of shutting down of the gates, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not, she said. "Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them. See, she told a little white lie. "I hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof." Now here's Joshua sent two men to spy out Jericho. Why? Because they were going to go into Jericho, which would be part of Israel in the future. They were going to destroy that city. It was a pagan city. God had already told him to destroy everything, babies, women, and everybody, and everything. Kill it all. That was God's instruction. And this woman heard about how the Israelites had killed other people on their way there. Scared her to death, folks. That's what happened to Rahab the harlot. She was scared to death for her family and herself. So she took some action. When those two men came to her, she recognized those two men was there to check them out, to destroy them. And she went and hid them when she heard the king had sent to find those two men. She knew what would be up if they was to catch them. Now, just keep that thought in your mind and go over to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. You won't have time to read it before I find it. The fear, listen to this. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." This woman got the fear of God into her when she heard that Joshua and them was a-coming to destroy that city. And they worshipped idols over where she was at. And she was a prostitute. But she got the fear of God in her. And she took some action. Now, I want to go to one other passage of Scripture in Psalms. Psalms 25 and verse 14 reads, listen to this. "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant." Let me tell you something, folks. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. You know what's wrong with our country today, folks? People don't fear God no more. People are not afraid of God anymore. We've had all kind of catastrophes in this country. And you know what the people say when they when these catastrophes happen in our country? Well, we're so and so, and we're going to build back, and we're going to build back better. And you can hardly ever catch anybody on a mic or the television when they're interviewing those kind of people when catastrophes happen, but what they're not bragging about what they're going to do and how they need God. They don't have a fear of God. And that's what's wrong with our country today. Amen. We don't fear God. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, you better fear God. God is a consuming fire, and he don't play. He doesn't play. He means what he says and says what he means. It's just like that. It's not. It's going to be straight as a rifle barrel on Judgment Day. It's not going to be graded on the curve in no way. It's going to be exactly what you said and what you've done. Exactly. That's what's going to be in the books. Sometimes we may think that God cannot or will not use some people. You may have your opinion about people. Well, God could never use that person. Don't you ever think that. Ain't a person in this building here today that God can't use. Let me rephrase that. Let me update that. Are you ready for what I'm about to update? God is using you in some way, either for good or bad. You listening? Whether you know it or not, God is using you for good or bad. God used a prostitute. You can't get no lower. And God used her. Our problem is we do not know God. God is God. God does what he wants to do. Nobody can't do anything about it. With God, all things are possible. We need to remember that. God is a very good God. God is a God of love, mercy, and grace. But God does what he wants to, when he wants to, how he wants to, where he wants to. Nobody can do anything about it. And he always does what's right. Never does what's wrong. Never. What a God to serve. What a God to serve, a God like that, that loves you, that loves you. God searches the heart of all people. God's searching your heart right now. He's running a beeline across every heart in here right now. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow before you ever do it, before you ever think about doing it. He knows what you're going to do. Ain't no secrets with him, church. I'm telling y'all the truth today. Jeremiah said it this way in Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10. The heart is deceitful above all things. You can look at me and smile and lie. You see it on TV all the time. These politicians, they're just smiling and they're lying. Lying. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. My heart is so wicked. Are you willing to say that about yours? Amen. Except for the grace of God, you can do anything. And who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. God says, I'm searching your heart. I try the reins. I even try you to see what you'll do. Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10. What a verse of scripture. We have a tendency as people to judge people and to dismiss them on the basis of how they live and who they are. Well, that's so-and-so somebody. We need to be careful about that, folks. Let me tell you something. Every person you know or see or meet is made in the image of God just like you, and they're just as important as you are to God. Amen. The truth of the matter is we are all fallen, helpless, and in a state of sin, and we're satisfied there until the Spirit of God and the Word of God begins to work in our life and bring us out of sin. Every one of us. We were born in sin. We were conceived in our mother's womb in sin. We were a sinner in our mother's womb. Everyone needs salvation. And the Bible even goes on to say there's not even a good person in all the world. And I think every one of my people is good. You are, as humans. On a human level, you are good. But on God's level, we're all sinners. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. Except for the grace of God, we could never be saved and would be separated from God for eternity, except for the grace of God. And grace means the undeserved favor of God. We don't deserve it, but God loves us anyway. And God knows what He can do for you and for me. He can make us a new person. Amen. A new person. And when you get saved, if you are saved, you are a new person, and you're to live like a new person. You're to live imitating Jesus Christ. And it takes us a while to learn that, don't it? And to discipline ourselves to do that. Now, you may read the Bible and see how God has used some, and you wish, well, I wish God would use me. Well, God is using you. But you need to be trusting Him and obeying Him for Him to use you in a good way. Sometimes God even uses people for evil. Did you know that? God might want to use you for good, but He could use you for evil. You remember? There's some people He uses for evil. He's using them for evil. Remember Judas Iscariot? One of the disciples of the Lord. Now, we got a congregation, a nice congregation sitting here. But you know, in this congregation, there could be one evil person God is using. And you'd wind up in hell. Think about it. But God used you. He used one of the 12, and they wound up in hell. He used them for evil because they were committed to that. They wouldn't change from that. They wouldn't repent of their evil. See, you're a free moral person. You make your decisions. God is allowing you to make decisions. You're going to decide whether you go to heaven or not. God's not going to decide whether you go to heaven or not. You're going to decide whether you go to heaven or not. You're going to decide if you get any rewards in heaven or not. By how faithfully you serve the Lord if you're saved. I'm just telling y'all the truth today about how God can use anybody. And I hope you'll listen. Pay attention. God used Judas to get Jesus crucified. Jesus Christ needed to be crucified so He could pay for the sins of the world. Who in the world could God use to get Jesus crucified? One of His 12 disciples. One of His own 12 disciples. And Jesus even told that before it ever took place. He said, I chose one of you, and one of you is a devil. Amen. The Lord knew him to start with. The Lord knows. The Lord knows. I want to talk to you folks about God using us for good, though. I want to talk to you about God using you for good. In the Bible, there's one person I'm going to use today for that purpose. We have in the book of Hebrews a list of those God used in outstanding ways in chapter 11. I'm going to read that passage for you in chapter 11. If you want to turn there, it'd be good. Hebrews 11:29. By faith, the writer of Hebrews wrote, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Rahab the harlot is in the book of Hebrews, folks. That prostitute is named in the Hebrews in a good way. Did y'all get that, folks? That's like having your name written down in the book of life. Amen? She's only one of two women mentioned in the book of Hebrews like that. And what shall I say more? For the time will not fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, and of Samson and of Jephthah and David and Samuel and of the prophets. As Rahab worked to hide the spies that had come into Jericho, she was fearful of her own life because she had heard of the mighty things Israel's God had done for his people. She heard about Israel's God and how he was destroying other nations of people to protect his people. And boy, she was frightened. She knew that Joshua's army would take and destroy her city, and she was frightened and thought maybe if she helped hide the spies, they would show mercy unto her. She was a wise woman, weren't she? Huh? What would we call that today, a traitor? Traitor to her own people? Yeah, but she's thinking about her own hide, weren't she? Hey, I'm thinking about my hide. I don't want to go to hell. How about you? Amen. Amen. In Joshua 2, if you will, go back to Joshua 2 and look down at verse 8. It's a long passage I want to read. But we need to know this story of what God has did for this woman and for his people. In verse 8 it says, and before they were laid down, those two spies that went to the city from Joshua, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land. Listen to her testimony now. And that your terror is fallen upon us. We're scared to death. And that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. People everywhere are scared of y'all's and y'all's God. She said, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. See, word travels fast, don't it? Even without the internet. Amen. Yeah. And what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom y'all utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our heart did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. She recognized, now this is the true God. And she'd been worshiping pagan gods. Now therefore I pray, she says to these two spies, I pray you swear to me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and to me as a token, and that you will save alive. Listen to this. save my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have. Amen. Amen. Joshua 2, 8 through 13. She was thinking about her little family, folks. You think about your family? Is your family important to you? Well, you need to help get them saved. Amen. Pray to get them saved. Work to get them saved. There's only one way that can be saved. It's through Jesus. You got to be in His fold. Got to be in His fold. Ahab did not know God loved her. Did y'all know that? She didn't know God loved her. Did you know this world is full of people like that? Let me ask you something this morning. Do you know God loves you? You know how much God loves you? He sent His Son to die on a cross to keep you out of hell. Now, have you accepted His Son as your Savior? If you don't accept Him as your Savior, you'll wind up in hell. Because God loved you enough to send you a Savior. But if you don't accept the Savior, you'll just go to hell. Hell is forever. And I'm saying this because we all need to be reminded of it. We all need to be reminded of it. This world is filled with people who do not know God loves them. Like Rahab, she, before she met the spies of Israel, living not knowing the God who made her and who loved her. So the greatest thing to ever happen in Rahab's life was when Joshua and the Israelite people come to attack them. That was a blessing in disguise. And they were scared to death. So the fear of the Lord is a good thing. Scared enough to, I got to get saved, amen. Amen, if hell don't scare people enough to get them saved, there ain't nothing will. Amen. Rahab was a harlot, but God could use her. And that's what I'm talking about today. God can use anybody. She was an old, common, low-down, bottom-of-the-barrel prostitute. And God could still use her. God could change her life, folks. I want to tell you, people on drugs, alcoholics, whoremongers, whatever, dopers, gamblers, you name it, God can save and change a life and make them a new person. I'm going to tell you about a movie star y'all heard about. Y'all heard of Steve McQueen in the past? Boy, he was up at the top of the box offices at one time in the movie industry. Steve McQueen was one of these kind of guys that could care less. I mean, he was just rambunctious. Daredevil type person. But somebody said something to one time and got him to thinking. He couldn't get it out of his mind. He kept working on him. Steve McQueen finally got saved, folks. Steve McQueen got saved. And he always wanted to meet Billy Graham. And one day, when Steve McQueen was real sick before he died, Billy Graham went by and seen Steve McQueen, the movie star. And they had a long chat together. And Billy Graham gave him, Steve McQueen, his own personal Bible with his name on it. You see, a low-down movie star, a vulgar movie star, got saved. God can save any person that's willing to listen and receive Jesus Christ. He received Jesus Christ. He didn't get a religion like some of these movie stars. He believed on Jesus Christ. That rambunctious, wild Steve McQueen got saved. Isn't that something, folks? And Billy Graham even went to see him. Billy Graham even gave him his Bible, his own personal Bible. And how great that was, folks. It just blessed my heart to read that testimony. This world is filled with people that just don't know God's love. Rahab didn't know how important she was. You know, we got a lot of people in this world today think they're important. I'm so important. I am Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so. I am somebody. Well, if you're that kind of important, you don't impress God at all. But we are all important to God, folks. We all are God's creation. And in passing, let me say this. Everybody is not a child of God just because you're a person. I hear people all the time say, everybody's a child of God. That's a lie. You got to be saved to be a child of God. You're just God's creation till you get saved. You got to get born again. Got to be born again. We tend to think important people are people who are successful at some trade or career position in life, but that's not true. No, they're the ones in the news who are getting all the attention, but that don't make them important. God does not view us this way because God is of no respect or person. God don't have favorite people, church. In Joshua 2, 3 through 7, and the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee. And so we know that story, how she hid those men up on top of the roof of her house, the Bible said. She hid them with stalks of flax. And the men were under those stalks of flax on top of her house. And let me tell you a little bit about her house. Jericho had a wall around the city, and probably two walls. A lot of the cities has two walls, maybe 12, 15 feet apart, those two walls, I understand. And people would build a house by laying a log across and then building a house on top of the walls. And that's the way Jericho was. They had a house on top of the wall. And hers was right there at the gate when you went into the city. Convenient for people looking for a prostitute, you see what I'm saying? And so that's the way it was. Her house was on top of the walls. And think about Rahab for a moment. She was just a citizen of Jericho. No one had ever heard of until, of her own choosing, she chose to help some Jewish spies who were checking out the city to destroy it. So of her own volition, she got involved and made it to the Bible, the Word of God. Do you see how important it was to her family and her survival and salvation? It was her actions that saved her and her loved ones from utter destruction. And Rahab was important for the spy survival in that hostile environment. I bet they were under that fax up on top of her house, wouldn't even breathe. They were holding their breath when them two men went up there looking to see where those men had got to. They just run up there and peeped and didn't see them and went back down. They didn't have sense enough to know they were under the fax lid up there. Now in Joshua chapter 2, beginning of verse 4, and the men answered, our life for yours. They're going to dick her now with her to make sure she don't tell on them. If ye utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. These spies told her, if you keep your secret to yourself now, don't let the word out, we'll take care of you now. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said to them, get to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourself there 3 days. She told them the safe way to go and how long to stay hid. See, she was a smart woman. She was desperate, because she knew they were her security. She didn't have any security without them and a deal with them. Go to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourself there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterwards may ye go your way. And the men said to her, we will be blameless of this time, of thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou did let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother, and thy brethren, thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out the doors of thine house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless, they said. If they get out of this house now, they're on their own. But if they'll stay in the house, we'll take care of them. And whithersoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any of them be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quiet of thy oath which thou hast made us swear. She said, according to your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they left that red scarlet line in the window, so that when Joshua and the Jewish people came to destroy the city, they knew which house was Jezebel, was Rahab's house. So they wouldn't get the wrong house. And Rahab did not know Israel's God was using her all that time. She had no earthly idea. Israel was successful in taking the city because of Rahab's willingness to hide and protect spies. And Rahab had feared Israel's God. And so what a wonderful story that was, folks. And so when Joshua and the Israelite people came into Jericho, God told them to go around that city one time, blowing the trumpets. The next day, go around another time, blow the trumpets. Do this 7 days, and on the seventh days, march around this city seven times, blowing the trumpet. And when they did, they were told to shout. And when they shouted, guess what happened? The walls automatically fell down. What a God, folks. What a God, folks. Israel didn't even have to do a thing. They didn't have to break down no walls. The walls just fell down. Now, I don't know about Rahab's house. Did it, that part of the wall still stay up so they could get out? I don't know. Maybe that part fell down easy so they could get out. But anyway, they all escaped safely, folks. Isn't God good? Isn't God good, folks? I want to tell you, it may get rough in this world, but God's going to help us escape, amen? God's going to help us get out, amen? Amen. Yeah, she didn't know her name would wind up in the Word of God. But here's a prostitute, a harlot. And she's found in the book of faith, the book of Hebrews, where it tells us so much about faith, living for the Lord. And she's only one, I believe, two women that's in that chapter mentioned in heroic people, the name of a prostitute. And you know what about her? Some of you may not know this, but she married an Israelite by the name of Salmon. They had a boy by the name of Boaz, And Boaz married a Moabite by the name of Ruth. And through that union, through that genealogy, as the other night at Bible study, Kim asked that question about the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And it was through this genealogy of Rahab the harlot and Ruth the Moabite that the Lord Jesus Christ descended and was born of the Virgin Mary. Isn't that interesting, folks? How God uses people, church. Unsuspecting people. God is using. God's using you. For good or bad. Your decisions. How you living. Determines God using you for good or for evil. Better be careful what you say, what you do, how you live, because God is watching. Movie stars want their name in a star on Hollywood Street, amen? That's what they want. Oh, if I could just get my name on a star on the Hollywood Street, I'd be famous. Oh, I'd never be forgotten. That's their mentality. Amen? That's their mentality. Yeah. And music people want theirs in the Hall of Fame of music. And ball players want theirs in the Hall of Fame of various sports. Oh, if I get my name there, people will always remember me. But Rahab, without knowing it, would be mentioned in the Word of God. Need a movie star in it. Amen? Amen. But a harlot's name is there. By the grace of God. But of grand significance, she would get to know the true God as her God. I don't know along the way at what point she was saved. But her fear of God caused her to get saved. Amen. She was afraid for her family too. She cared for her family. Her family was important to her. Some families don't seem to be important to some people. But I grew up in a family that was important to me. Our family was important. We cared for one another. We worked together from sunrise to sunset, 6 days a week when I was growing up. Rahab got to know the true God because Rahab was wise enough to protect herself and her family and led her to getting to know the God of Israel. Look at all the blessings Rahab received for herself and her family because she was willing to be used of God because she feared God. Now, she wasn't thinking about God is using me all that time. She was thinking about her own hide and her family's hide. But she knew there was a God that she was afraid of. He weren't like her gods. He knew her God could open up a sea and people could pass through it. Now that's a God. That's an awesome God. Let's not forget God can use you for evil if you ignore him. Or the opportunity he gives you. Don't forget Judas, Pilate, Herod, Hitler, and many others. God used for evil. God used for evil. And the world's full of them today. That's why we should live by faith as the Bible teaches. In closing, Matthew 18:3-4. Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. We're to be humble as God's children. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself Jesus said, as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Humility is what the Lord's looking for in, amongst all of us folks. It's not to be full of pride because of our achievements. We're to live as humble people, because you couldn't achieve anything without the grace of God. You couldn't do anything without the grace of God. It's God gave you your talents. You didn't get your talents. Because you can do something nobody else can't do, it's not of you. God gave you that talent. And God did it to whoever he wanted to. And he's going to let you, he's going to look and see how you use it. You use it with humility. You walk among a people with humility. That's important. It's the most important thing in this life. Be a normal person. Don't you be proud. Think you're somebody special. You're no better than nobody else, and I'm not either. Being a preacher don't make me no better. It gives me more responsibility. Be humble. Be a normal person. Thank God. That he would save somebody like you and me. He didn't have to do anything. He's not obligated to do anything. Matthew 23:12, I'm closing. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. You walk around proud of who you are and think you're somebody above everybody else, God says, I'm going to lower the boom on you. Make you pay for it. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. God says, if you'll humble yourself, I'll promote you. I'm just reading the Bible, folks. That's all I'm doing. In 1 Peter 5:5-6, in closing, but God resists the proud and giveth grace, unmerited favor to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore. See, you can humble. Don't ask the Lord to humble you. You don't want to do that, because he will. The Bible says, humble yourself. Humble yourself among men. Therefore, and under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. When God gets ready, he'll exalt us. He may not exalt us much in this life. Might be the next life before we get exalted. I don't know. I'm just telling you. God says, well, you need to be like that Rahab the harlot. She was a nobody in society's eyes. There weren't no lower in society than her in society's eyes. And even today, well, I don't know, the homosexuals gets mighty low to me, which they're doing in basically the same kind of thing. I want to tell you something. Humble yourself. Don't let God have to humble you. You don't want God to have to humble you, because he wants to exalt you. Amen. God loves you, church. God loves you, church. God wants to use you, church. Got to walk humbly. Give yourself to the Lord. You won't ever regret it. That's the good part. And you won't lose anything either. You're not going to be giving up anything. You're going to be actually gaining. You're going to be gaining. By telling the truth, You're going to be gaining. You ain't giving up anything. This world's all vanity. Let's pray. Loving God, thank you for loving such sinners as we are. Lord, we were without hope. We don't have anything to offer you, Lord, because we're just sinners. You don't want sinners. So you sent Jesus to make us the children of God, the saints of the Lord. And you had to do it to make us to be born again by faith in the Son of God, who was God, who alone could change a sinner into a saint. Help us to rejoice in who we are and live among men as who we really are, the children of God, to be a witness of the grace of God. Lord, help me to preach. Lord, I love to try to serve you. Lord, I just love it, Lord. Lord, anoint me to preach, to honor you, to exalt you, Lord. Thank you for the things you've taught me, Lord. Thank you for bearing with me, Lord. Forgive where we all fail, Lord, as individuals. Forgive us, strengthen us, challenge us, use us. And help this congregation to realize, as I've tried to share, God will use anybody that'll let him use them. And if he won't use them for good, you use them for evil. Oh, God, bless our people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.